Good morning, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us on this second journey in our new series, Worship in the Wilderness. Sam kicked off the first journey for us on Ash Wednesday with a secret journey, and this morning we're thinking about what it means to be on a Spirit-led journey. So you bow your head with me and pray as we ask God the Spirit to come and lead us now. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for who you are and for what you do in our lives, for how you guide us, for how you lead us through. And I pray that you'll be with each and every one of us in our homes today, whether we're alone or whether we're surrounded by family. Would you stir in our hearts, Lord, that you might refine our faith in these times. So we pray, Holy Spirit, come and be our teacher and our guide today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. About 18 months ago, I had the joy of going to a leaders conference in Sligo. And I'd been there before. It happens every few years. I'd been to my first one a few years before that. So I was really looking forward to the second one. I'd kind of got the feel of what it was about and what it would be like. It takes place in a hotel in Sligo, which is really nice and tranquil and just some good headspace. So I'd been before, I knew where the hotel was and what the score was. So I drove down to Sligo, set off with my sat-nav, and it got me, Google Maps safely got me to Sligo. And when I got to Sligo town, it started to tell me to go left. And I knew that I needed to go right to the hotel. So I turned the sat-nav down and went where I knew where I was at this stage. It was slightly orientated at that stage. So I drove to the hotel. I got to the hotel, got my luggage, went into the reception and went to book in. And the girl said, I'm sorry, we don't have a booking in your name. So I think, well, you must do, because I've definitely booked and it was all part of this package. So I thought, well, I'll get out my ticket and show her. And I said, no, I'm definitely booked in. I'm part of the leaders conference. She said, I'm not sure what that conference is. So I pulled out my ticket for booking to prove that I had booked the room. And she looked at the ticket and she said, I think you're in the wrong hotel. Entirely mortified that my sat-nav was actually taking me to the right place, I ignored it and went to the wrong hotel. Entirely mortified, I picked up my suitcase and left very quickly, wishing that I'd listened to my sat-nav. I was really confident about where I was going. I was pretty sure this is the right way. And I got it wrong because I chose not to listen to the sat-nav guiding me. What do we do and where do we turn in life when we find ourselves in an unknown territory and we don't know where to turn? We don't know where to go. What do we do in the wilderness when we don't know where to go? Who is our guide and how do we work out our way through the wilderness? This morning, we are on a Spirit-led journey. As the Spirit guides us through the wilderness, we're going to think about the two passages that Jane and Matthew read for us as we tune in to how God guides us in the wilderness. How he is better than the voice of a sat-nav that I could turn down and ignore. But if we tune into the voice of the Spirit, he will lead us in the wilderness. And as we explore this idea of a Spirit-led journey, there are three truths that we need to hold on to this morning to wrestle with how to navigate our way through a wilderness season in our lives. The three truths that I want us to explore this morning are these. That we are led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Secondly, that wilderness is not a sign of God's absence. And then thirdly, the truth that wilderness is actually a place of transformation. So we're going to look at those three truths this morning and really try to take hold of them in our hearts. So let's explore this idea first, that we are led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The American author and preacher B.B. Taylor once wrote this. For many people, the hardest thing to believe in the wilderness is that God has anything to do with it at all. I'm sure that's a feeling most of us could identify with. She writes, it can feel like the exact opposite, as if God has vanished and you have been turned over to the enemy. But according to the Gospel of Mark, it was the Spirit who drove Jesus into the wilderness. not the devil or the world, but the Holy Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God who leads us into the wilderness. Most of us will probably feel, if we're in a wilderness season now, that it's because we've taken a wrong turn, or because we've sinned in some way, because we have failed God, and now he's punishing us by sending us away into the wilderness. Perhaps you feel like that today. Perhaps you're feeling experiencing a wilderness or a dark night of the soul, and you feel that it's because you've made a mistake somewhere. You've failed or let God down. Without doubt, there are dark times in our lives that we experience because of our choices and because we walk away from God, because we turn our back on him. But among Christians, more often than not, we find ourselves in the wilderness because God has led us there, because God has brought us to the wilderness. And that's what we see in the Bible. We see the Holy Spirit lead people into the wilderness. We see it in the Old Testament, in the story of the Israelites that Jane reminded us of. And we see it in the New Testament, the story of Jesus that Matthew read for us this morning. And Jesus begins his ministry kind of in a similar way to the Israelites in Exodus. He passes through waters, not through the Red Sea the way the Israelites did, but he passes through the waters of baptism in the Jordan River. And in that passage that Matthew read, those couple of verses, you can imagine how exciting that was. It's this mountaintop experience for Jesus. God is confirming who he is. He goes into the waters of baptism. The Spirit of God descends on him like a dove, and then the voice of the Father speaks. And he speaks in affirmation and devotion, and he says, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Imagine being Jesus at that moment when he goes to baptism and suddenly the heavens opened and God affirms who he is. And you might expect that after this high point for Jesus, that he would then launch into another mountaintop experience, that he would launch into this really exciting and dynamic preaching ministry, coming and demonstrating that the kingdom of God is near. And yet that's not what happens. He's not surrounded by people. He's not preaching the gospel energetically to people. But instead, like Israel, like the Israelites before him, Jesus goes from the waters to the wilderness. He goes from a season of spiritual feasting and excitement to a struggle of fasting. He goes from a period of affirmation, confirmation, to a time of loneliness and temptation. In Mark, we read that at once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced moments where you thought God was calling you, sending you, empowering you, that he had chosen you for a particular ministry or way of serving, and you're confident of your purpose? And then suddenly you find yourself in a setback. Suddenly disappointment lands itself at your door. Times of refreshment and excitement followed immediately by a period of dryness, and I don't know what to do now. If you've experienced that, I want you to know that it's what God often does for his people. He confirms a purpose in their hearts, and then he takes them into the wilderness to test it and to confirm it, to prove that it's true. So if that's you, and you have found yourself in that situation before, where you were so sure of what you could do for God, and then find yourself in the wilderness suddenly, take heart, because you're following in the footsteps of Jesus. Wilderness is the place that the Spirit leads us to. The Father led Jesus into the desert by the Spirit, and the Father leads us into the wilderness by the Spirit. So we've arrived here. We've arrived in the wilderness. The Spirit has led us here, and we're getting to grips with that. But what now? What do we do now that we're here? I remember before I trained for ministry, I was working in a primary school, and there was a child in my class who really hated school, it was a particular phase for a few weeks where he just hated that initial coming into school in the mornings. He just did not want to do it. And so his mum and I worked out this little plan that she would bring him right in, right into the classroom, leave him at the door, and then I would distract him, kind of pick him up, and then close the door. And then she would make her getaway. As I closed the door, she would leave very quickly. And he would be distracted for a moment. He would be distracted by whatever toy or activity I'd given him or by his friends. And then it would dawn on him. He would realise, she's gone. She's left me here. And for the next 5 or 10 minutes, he would cry. He would go to the window with his hands and his face pressed up to the window, watching her walk across the car park to the car and drive out. And he would cry his eyes out, knowing that she had left him there. And that was so heart-wrenching to watch. Some of us are feeling that that's what God does to us in a wilderness, that he leads us into this barren desert and then he leaves us and he says, I'll be back in a few months to see how you get on. But that is not the case. It's not the case that God leaves us, because the second truth that we need to grasp today is this, that wilderness is not a sign of God's absence. Wilderness is not a sign of God's absence. The people of Israel experienced a huge mountaintop experience. They'd been in slavery in Egypt, and then suddenly they were released. And then as they left, God parted the Red Sea in front of them. Imagine that scene. Literally, you come to an ocean and God parts it. And he lets them walk through the sea. And as they pass through it, he begins to close the sea and destroys their enemies. Imagine how incredible that must have been, knowing God's favour in that moment. And so they celebrated with joyful worship and dancing and playing instruments. They were on top of the world and they probably had hopes and dreams for the promised land. So they thought, we leave slavery, we walk through this sea that he has parted for us, straight into the promised land, straight into the goodness of God. And that will be amazing. Very quickly in Exodus chapter 15, what we realise is that they don't find themselves in the promised land. They find themselves in the desert. And the desert they come to at first is a place with no fresh water. And in that place, their joy and their celebration turns to grumbling. Their worship turns to distrust. And they immediately doubt that God is with them. They think, well, he's abandoned us then. In chapter 16, they reach another desert and they discover there that there's no food. And they begin to long for their days in Egypt. They begin to think, actually, we were better off in slavery. And they begin to complain that they're going to die because there's no food and no resources for them. And yet they weren't abandoned in those deserts, because what we see in both deserts is that God provides them with fresh water and with fresh manna. And when we experience the struggles of wilderness, we need to not see those times as punishments from God or signs that God is uncaring towards us or non-existent or that he has left us. But we need to see that wilderness is just an opportunity for God to test our hearts. The question God asks in the wilderness is, do you trust yourself or do you trust me? Do you trust yourself? Or do you trust me? The passage that Jane read for us from Deuteronomy reflects on the story of the Israelites in the wilderness. And it says, he gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. God has a very specific purpose in the wilderness. What he confirms on the mountaintop, he tests in the wilderness. And he operates in the wilderness because it's the one place where we are desperate. It's the place where he can get our attention. It's the place where we can't be distracted by so many worldly things. It's the place where we can't store up treasure for ourselves, resources. It's the place that God takes us to get our attention. It's the place that we can't survive without him. Desperate times produce desperate prayers. And so in this season of wilderness, it's God's desire, not that we would learn to be satisfied in what resources we have or can produce for ourselves, but his desire is that in this season of wilderness, we would be satisfied in what God provides here and now, today. In the daily bread, in the manna from heaven each day that he provides for us. And so we need to learn in the wilderness that it's not about just getting through. It's not about getting your head down and just getting through these next few weeks or months. Our hope does not rest in God bringing us out of the wilderness, but our hope is found in the fact that he meets us right here in the center of the wilderness, that he is with us, that he is present with us. Because it's not on the mountaintop that we learn to worship, but it's in the wilderness that we really learn to rely on his promise. The promise that he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. It's in the wilderness that we prove that promise to be true, that he never leaves us or forsakes us or abandons us. Why can't we just enjoy his presence and his provision on the mountaintop? Why can't the Christian life just be a mountaintop party all the time? Why doesn't God want that for us? Just to be celebrating all the time? The American evangelist Billy Graham once said this, mountaintops are for views and inspiration, but fruit is grown in the valleys. Mountaintops are for views and inspiration, but fruit is grown in the valleys. The same principle is applied to the wilderness. Because our third truth this morning is that wilderness is a place of transformation. The wilderness is a place of transformation. Ultimately, as we explored last Sunday, the wilderness is the place that God takes us so that we might learn to worship. It's what he says to Moses to pass on to Pharaoh, that worship in the wilderness is what he desires. But as we discovered over the last couple of sessions, the last Sunday and on Ash Wednesday, worship in the wilderness looks different to worship on the mountaintop. Because in the wilderness, we have no control. As we just talked about, in the wilderness, our distractions are removed. And so we must learn to worship differently. We must be changed as worshippers. We must be transformed as worshippers. And it's in the moments when we feel like we've come to the edge of ourselves, when we have no more and we don't know what next, where do we turn now? It's in that moment when we come to the edge of ourselves that a whole new level of faith is possible. That a whole new way of worship and a whole new level of worship is possible. Anyone who has ever taken up a new exercise program, like Couch to 5K or something like that, or maybe embarked on some kind of diet, it's done in the hopes of transforming themselves physically. That's why people embark on those things, to look and feel better. But if you've ever done either of those things, taken up an exercise program or embarked on a diet, you'll know how much hard work it is. You'll know how painful at times it is. But people do it and complete it in the hopes of change, in the hope of being transformed by the end of it. The reality is that it's in the most difficult or challenging times of our lives that we have the most potential to be transformed by God. That there's the most potential for our character and our faith to be shaped and moulded just as God wills and desires for us. Our faith has the potential to be strengthened in the most painful times if we are open to the possibility of transformation, if we're willing to engage with God and we are willing to be teachable in the wilderness. It's a place that God can mould us to really refine what it is we believe, to really refine how we worship and to really refine our faith. The Israelites literally had everything stripped away from them. Food and water, some of the most essential basic things, and those things were stripped away from them. And God did that so that they would be truly dependent on God. Because it's in really painful, difficult times that we learn to trust in the promises of God. That God refines us in those moments. James chapter 1 in the New Testament says this: "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." We can be mature in Christ, not lacking anything, if we're willing to put in the work in a time of wilderness, if we're willing to be transformed during really painful, difficult times. Romans 5 says something similar. It says, "We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit he has been given to us." I want you to know that your wilderness is not an accident, nor will it be wasted, because God always wants to use our wilderness as an opportunity and a time for transformation in our lives. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to listen to some of our young people in Metal share their wilderness stories on Facebook and on Instagram. If you haven't, I recommend that you do. Some really powerful stories of how God has transformed our young people when they went through difficulty and when some of their most prized possessions and priorities were stripped away. We've been living very busy lives, and if we're honest, there's not a lot of room for God to speak at times. And now we find ourselves in the wilderness when most of life has been stripped away from us. But this wilderness is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to receive from God, to receive just enough for each day, to really go back to depend on him. And God knows that for us to grow in him, that we might have to start putting away some things, that he might have to strip some things away from us. And the best place to do that is in the wilderness. And so by his Spirit, he leads us into the wilderness. And it's there that we'll have empty hands, hands that are ready to receive from him, hands that are free to worship him. And so I want to encourage you in this time of wilderness, if you find yourself there now, that it's not a place of punishment. It's not a place where God has abandoned you, but it's actually a place that God has brought you because he wants to transform you. He wants to test and refine your faith. And so I want you to know today, if you're in the wilderness, that God is with you. He never wants to see you suffer in the wilderness, but he is passionate to see you trust him in the wilderness, to be transformed into the likeness of Christ, and to learn what it is to worship, to truly worship in the wilderness when everything else is stripped away. Israel was transformed through her wilderness worship, and you and I can be too. In a moment, we're going to sing the song Oceans together. And I just want to read the verse or the words of the chorus in this song before we come to sing it. And I really hope that we can use it as our prayer this Lent. Let this be our prayer. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Saviour. Let's just pray this morning. Lord, I thank you that you have a very clear purpose in the wilderness, that you lead us there by your Spirit. You don't abandon us there, but you lead us, that you go with us, you go before us, and you provide for us there. And Lord, I just thank you that it's the place for our faith to be refined, for character, for perseverance, and for hope to be cultivated. And so I pray for each and every person facing the wilderness today, that by your Spirit you would do that. Lord, would you transform it? Would you transform it from a place of suffering and on what we perceive to be abandonment? And would you make it a place where we are tested, where we are refined, and where we triumph in you? So I pray that you would come by your Spirit and do your work among us, whatever it is you desire and will to do in each of our lives in this time of wilderness. And that our faith would be made stronger in the presence of our Saviour. Amen.